Good morning. It's a joy to be with you all this morning. Welcome to our visitors that we have here with us. My name is Pastor Ben Kendra. I'm the campus pastor here. I hope you've been blessed so far. And hey, it's been a great morning. I always love when the little ones are up in the front. Ollie Dovey, I don't know if you guys could hear him. He's Aaron Dovey, our worship leader. He was going, "Dad, Dad." He was crying out for his father in worship. I loved it. I thought it was a great image. For me, it blessed my heart, and I saw Aaron kind of like give him a little head nod as he's leading. He can't go down, but what a great image of us crying out to our Father in worship, amen. I love that. It blessed me tremendously. I want us to think about today. We're in our last part of our Colossians sermon series. I hope you've enjoyed it. I encourage you to go back and listen to other book from the book of Colossians. It's called Firm Foundation. How about that beat in the opening? That's a lot. So if that was a lot for you, I'm sorry. If you liked it, cool. But this is our last part of our Colossians sermon series. And so we're in Colossians chapter 4. We'll be kind of looking through that last part of Colossians chapter 4. But I want to talk about today is this. My kind of opening question, something to get us to think about, is partnerships. Think about partnerships. I know partnerships matter. Partnerships throughout my life in ministry, as a youth pastor, as I have started out, I have partnered with tremendous youth leaders, student leaders that have helped me along the way reach students. 17 years as a youth pastor. So I worked with a lot of student leaders. They're amazing. And I partner with them. And throughout some of the churches I've served at, I've got to serve with, partnered with in ministry, some amazing people. And I got to tell you this, that here at the Brighton Heights campus, I'm partnering with all of you, and partnering with Elder Doug. He did a great job this morning, right, as our MC. But here's the thing, partnerships matter in your life. Partnerships matter in your life. And we're going to look at the Apostle Paul, all through his letters, not just Colossians, but we're seen in Colossians, that Paul couldn't have done the ministry that he did without, obviously, he has the Holy Spirit. He's got his relationship with Jesus. That's a given, okay? But other than that, he partnered with people in ministry along the way. He couldn't have done what he had done without the partnerships that he had in ministry. And so I want to challenge you this morning. Can you think of partnerships that you've had, friendships, co-laborers, whatever word you like? I'm going to use the word partnership, okay? Partnerships that you've had along the way that have helped you grow or mature, become better, inspired, to feel not alone. And so that's what partnerships do. There are some partnerships in history that I want us to think about. Number one, that I was thinking about this week, what are some famous partnerships we have in history? We have the Wright brothers. The Wright brothers together, not the Mario brothers, the Wright brothers. The Wright brothers helped us get into the air. They helped us fly. They partnered together. They came together. I'm sure they got on each other's nerves. But they partnered together, and now we're able to fly. Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak, their brilliance and their intelligence helped provide us with technology, things like the iPhone and the iPad and whatever. If you're a different user, that's okay. But again, the partnership is what I want you to focus on. Those two sharpened each other, and we're different as a society because of it. Again, two partnerships that mattered. In the world of sports, the Williams sisters partnered together. They've done some amazing things, whether you're a tennis person or not. But those two were amazing. Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. That's the era I grew up in. Those two are amazing partners and on the court. For the comic lovers amongst us, Batman and Robin, I'll submit to you. Han Solo and Chewbacca for the Star Wars fans. Samwise Gamgee and Frodo Baggins for my Lord of the Rings people. Romeo and Juliet out of Shakespeare, right? That was a good partnership. Tough ending. Paul McCartney and John Lennon, right? Some say the brains behind it. We can agree to disagree, whatever. And then, of course, one of my favorite, peanut butter and jelly. Great partnership for us to think about. But listen, as you're holding back this morning, we heard it in some of these words that were given to us. We heard it in the way we sang worship this morning. God doesn't want you to hold back in a partnership that he wants with you. He wants to have a partnership. He wants to have a relationship with you. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. And if you haven't heard anything out of the book of Colossians, Paul's driving it home in chapter 4 for us to say, Jesus loves you so much. He went to the cross for you. He rose from the dead. He wants to partner with you. That should excite you, church. This morning, here's the thing. You have gifts and abilities and strengths and weaknesses, and things that make you odd and weird like me, that God's going to say, I like that. I'm going to use that, you know? He wants to partner with you. We're not just doing this Easter thing to just like get people in the door. There's souls at stake. The people need to hear that God loves them, that God has a plan and purpose for them, and he's partnering with us today. He's partnering with you. So I just want to encourage you, friends, if you're looking at your faith as just some dutiful thing that you got to get through, check the box, I went to church today, I'm a good person. Like there's some cosmic stars chart in the sky where the teacher puts the, that's not God, what God is doing. What God is trying to do, he's saying, I want to partner with you, that I see in you abilities and skills. I see the heart. He sees in us Jesus, his son. And so this morning, that's my challenge to you. That's the tension with us. Some of us are sitting here like, I don't want a partnership with God right now. I'm fine where I am, thank you. I want to challenge you on that thinking that God wants you in a relationship. He wants to take you deeper. He wants to take you further. He doesn't want you to check out. He wants you to be all in. And some, like we said this morning, some of us, unfortunately, are holding back. And I want to encourage you, don't hold back. Dive in. God wants to use you today and moving forward for his church, for his kingdom, for his kingdom. Partnerships matter. Partnerships sharpen us. Proverbs 27 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. That's what partnerships do. They sharpen one another. Can you think of a friend in your life, an accountability person, or just someone that maybe at work or whatever it is, your spouse? Oh my goodness, that's a novel idea. That someone that sharpens you to make you better, to make you look more like Jesus. Somebody that completes you. Someone that lets you know you're not alone. That's the partnership that God wants for us. That's the partnerships that we see in Colossians chapter 4. So our big idea this morning, here's where we're going. A firm foundation will continue to grow in these three areas. If we do these three things, this isn't the only three, but this is what we're pulling from Colossians 4. A prayer life. A prayer life. What's your prayer life like right now? Like, what's your prayer life? Do you have a prayer life? Is it existing? Are you one of those people who says, I'll pray for you, but doesn't, you know? What's your prayer life like? How about this one? The second one is a personal witness, a personal witness. Each one of you has a story, a unique story to tell. Here's the great thing, that your story is unique to you, that someone needs to hear your story. He needs to hear how God has intervened in your life and redeemed you from the hand of the enemy, and people need to hear that. Your story is different from mine. Mine's different from yours, but each one of us collectively is one body. Oh, it's powerful. And so that's one of the things. The third thing is this. Again, I started with it. I'm going to end with it, is partnerships. Partnerships. All through ministry, Paul had partnerships. The church is stronger together than it is apart. When you have an isolation mentality, it's not good for the church. It's not good for you. That's not Jesus' purpose and plan for your life. It's not. He wants to partner with you. He loves you. He sees in you his son. So I'm going to encourage you, don't hold back. Amen? All right, so here's where we're going. Our first slide, point one is this, prayer life. We're going to talk about our prayer life. And in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 through 3 says this, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. I like those. Alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us, Paul's writing to the church. He's writing to the church of Colossae. He's saying, pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. Wow. And then it says, that is why I'm here in chains. And so as Paul is writing this letter, he's having somebody actually write, who's a partner, who's writing, like a scribe, is writing the letter for him, someone that's in his ministry circle. They're devoting themselves. He's saying, devote yourself to prayer. Devote yourself to prayer. I know some of us don't like to pray in large crowds. I get that. Some of us don't like to, like, corporate. I had a roommate that was a ministry major that said, I hate corporate prayer. Because he hated praying in public, he grew into it. He grew out of that. But it was, he was intimidating to him because it was public speaking. And under that, there's a fear. But there's this prayer that we're called to. Jesus commanded and even demonstrated in the Lord's Prayer, this is what you should pray. And when you pray, you should do this. And so there's this expectation for God's kids, his children, us, you and I, that we're going to have a prayer life, that we're going to devote ourselves. What is the word devote? Devote is to continue to do something in an intense effort. Devote yourself despite the difficulties. And so
I'm going to get up and I'm going to pray, or I'm going to drive in the car or ride the T, whatever it is, and I'm going to devote myself in that moment to prayer, right? And so it's important for us to be a people of prayer. Did you know that we have an 8 a.m. prayer team that prays back in this, right next to the cafe? They pray over the church. They pray for different things that are going on. They devote themselves to prayer. So if you want to be part of that, come see me. I'll put you back to Tom Rachel. He'd love to talk to you more, Michelle. But we need to devote ourselves. It's something that we shouldn't just let other people do. But I want to encourage you, what's your prayer life like this morning? Do you have a prayer life right now? Prayer is what? Prayer is what? It's communication with God. It's just simply you communicating to God. Obviously, there's a reverence there. There's an act of worship. But it is this communication that you have with God. If you find yourself in a stale place in your faith, I want to challenge you. Maybe your relationship and prayer language and prayer time with God is not where it should be. If I don't continue to communicate with my wife, my relationship with my wife is going to go stale. She's going to go, "What is wrong with you?" Which that happens often, right? But God wants us to have this relationship with him. He wants us to communicate. One of the best things we can do, like all he did, is cry out to God in prayer. That's one of the best things we can do. To be alert is to be watchful. You know, kind of, what is God saying? What is God saying in me? What is God saying in the church, in the community, in the world? So we're being alert, we're discerning, we're ready to go, and we're vigilant in that. And so this means so much to us because starting today, if you want to see this, there's 30 days of prayer that we have. There's a hard copy. There's a few hard copies back at the connection point that we're taking the next 30 days, and we're praying through Easter. Just as a time of just daily prayer. So if you need some guide to help you, you can hit the QR code behind me, or you could go back. Leanne would love to give you one of these. But listen, let's do this. Let's devote ourselves to this as a church and see what God will do. Let's pray on behalf of our church and pray for our community and our families and watch what God will do. We're going to take this time from the time frame of April 14th through the 16th to devote ourselves to prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting for what? We're praying for Easter. We're praying for extravaganza. We're praying for the Good Friday service that's coming up. And so we're devoting ourselves to prayer and fasting. And so if you know you want to talk about prayer and fasting, if you have any questions, I'd love to talk to you. Doug would help you out as well. But it's a time to devote yourself and to lean into God right now and to communicate to him, cry out to him, pray on behalf of others for Easter, as they come out for our Easter services, but as people need to know of the hope and the relationship that's found in Jesus Christ. And then we're going to, again, this week, just praying for those inviting people. Last couple of weeks, we had invites on the seats to invite our peeps to the service. And so continue to pass out those invites. I think we have a few back there as well, getting the head nod. So if you needed some invitations to invite people, this is a way you can partner and bring people to invite people to church for that Easter service. It's going to be an amazing time. But I would say this, when we think about prayer and we look at Paul, he's reminding this church in Colossae, they kind of got mixed up in some false teaching and some mixtures of different religions. But he's saying, this is what you're supposed to do because of what Jesus did. This is how Jesus prayed. And so he's like, devote yourself to a prayer life. Think about that. How is your prayer life this morning? There's a great quote that always challenges me. A prayer should be the steering wheel, not the spare tire, said Corrie ten Boom, a great saint of the church. I'm going to say that again. Think about this. Prayer should be the steering wheel, not the spare tire. And I love that. Is we should often go to the prayer is like, "Oh, Lord, please help me get an A on the test." Did you do that? I did that. But instead of doing that, we're getting out ahead of time and we're praying on behalf of people and for people. And as we're growing and maturing, we're going to let God, the Holy Spirit, move on us to steer us in the right direction on where we need to go. A prayer list. Prayer list is this. You want power and you have to petition for God. A prayer life is a time in exchange with God, and you have the presence of God. And so you need to spend that time. And so that prayer life is what you do continually without ceasing. Asking the Holy Spirit to fill you and infill you daily. It's continuing on. So prayer is also not just something we do before dinner. It's not what we do before bed. It's a lifestyle. So our prayer life is just not just one time. It's just what we continually do. How's your prayer life this morning? Do you have one? Paul could have asked the prayer for himself. That's one of the great examples that we see in this passage, that he prayed for others. He's in prison. Did you get that? Did you forget about that little detail? He's in prison as he's writing the book of Colossians, and he's asking us to be devoted to prayer for one another. And so he's not asking to like pray that this, they let me go or these chains fall off or whatever. He's praying for other people. So his mind is on mission. Ephesians 6, Paul says this, "Don't forget to pray for me. Pray that I'll know what to say and have the courage to say it at the right time. I need that. Telling the mystery to one and all, the message that I have, a jailbird preacher that I am and responsible for getting out." That's from the Message. I love that translation. And so again, he's praying for people. He wants to pray for people's souls. Are we praying for people right now to be invited and to know Jesus? That's what we're called to do. And so asking for the grace to walk through the door, and not to get us out of jail or a bad situation that we may find ourselves, but we're actually praying that the message and the gospel goes out and the people's hearts are changed forever. Amen. Do you want that? And so that prayer life begins. Devote yourself to that. Devote yourself to that. If you're in love with Jesus, you're going to want to be able to go to him in prayer. I like to pray with and talk with my wife. I enjoy it. As a devoted follower of Jesus, that's what we're called to do, is spend time with the Lord. Now, if you're struggling with that, I'd love to talk to you about that. I can help you with that. That's one of the things that we have. And so Easter, you're going to hear a lot about Easter coming up. Easter, this week in groups, connection groups, you're going to hear about Easter at Bridge City Church. We're going to be talking about Easter, and we don't want you to get sick of it, but we want you to kind of understand this is where we are as a culture. We want to, as a church, for this message to go out, for people to get connected to this awesome church family, that they may know of this relationship with Jesus. Number two is this, that when Paul is talking about in Colossians chapter 4, he says that you need a personal witness, a personal witness. The people far from God matter to God. And so Paul knows this. Paul was saying this. And so he's saying that your personal witness matters. How many of you know this, that the way you live your life, people are watching, right? They're watching you. They're watching you. Your kids are watching you. The way you handle yourself online matters. The way you handle yourself in private when no one else is around, God sees it, right? It matters. And so our personal witness is what Paul was saying. So he's reminding these Christians in Colossians chapter 4, don't get caught up in all this stuff with the world. Don't get caught up in all these false teachings. But what you need to do is get caught up in who Jesus has called you to be, caught up in a relationship with me, caught up in prayer, and then through your personal witness should be demonstrated. Your personal witness, what does that look like? Well, in Colossians 4, 5, and 6, it says this, "Pray that I will proclaim the message as clearly as I should." As clearly as I should. "Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity." Wow, that's great. Verse 6, "Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everybody." I love this. Paul was thinking about the believer. He's trying to remove stumbling blocks. He's trying to remove obstacles away from people so that the gospel might be attractive to somebody. Guess what? Sometimes we can get in the way. I can get in the way. My personality or whatever I think, like I just pray to God, like make me able to speak clearly and give me the words to say with your Holy Spirit. So praying something like that, and then he gives you those words to say. But here's the thing, there's a winsomeness. Say winsomeness. Say it one more time. Say winsomeness. So winsomeness to me is like it matters. That Paul is a winsome man. Not only did he do it here, he did it on Mars Hill. He did it all throughout his writings. He was a winsome man. He had the believer or the non-believer in mind. He cared how he came across. Some of us are like, I'm going to be me and that's all I'm going to be. Like sometimes that gets in the way. I'm going to be who I am, you know. Okay, sometimes that can be weird too. So be winsome, not weird. That's what we're called to be. But weird's good too at times. But here's the thing. He's saying, like, we need to be wise how we're coming across to people, how our relationships, how we're carrying ourselves, the words we use, what we're posting, all those things. Don't hold back, but lean in and let your witness speak loudly for you. I like this. Have conversations with grace. Have more grace come out of your life and out of your words. Are your conversations sprinkled with grace and kindness and politeness and favor? Does that come out of you? Is that difficult for you? We're going to pray for that at the end. How about this one? Are we seasoned with salt? Are we kind of adding flavor to the conversation? Are we helping people kind of go through making sense that, like, there's so many people that are thirsty for God. And we have to be able to communicate that to them, seasoned with salt. Not the word salty, but use it in, like, how we're using this, like, when I say salty, our words should bring flavor and opportunity, and it isn't just dry for them, but it gives them some flavor. Like, there's something different about you. There's something different about Doug. I want to know about that. So that salty in the most positive way. I know it could be used in modern day culture as a negative term, but it's not what I'm talking about. And then finally, as believers, we need to respond well. Respond well, knowing how to communicate and having a few scriptures in our back pocket, having just like your testimony and your witness speak loudly for you. You know, hey, this is how I know Jesus. This is what Jesus did for me. And letting this Holy Spirit go before you to communicate that message. So there's a message with our witness, but it's also a lifestyle. Like, there's words and we know the gospel, but there's a lifestyle that should come with it as well. Is your lifestyle communicating the gospel? Is your lifestyle speaking loudly the gospel? Is your lifestyle pointing to Jesus? And if there's things in the way, then those are the things we need to identify, write down, and repent of, and say, God, change that. Make me winsome so people may understand you more and more. Why is this important? Why is this important to do? Why am I saying this? Well, it keeps us connected to God. It does. It keeps us connected to God. When we're examining our hearts and we're thinking about that, it keeps us connected to God, how we're living our lives. If you have like kind of a sharp word for somebody, you're like, I haven't had my coffee yet. Okay, like, apologize, but then come back and be sharper, right? And so the way you you have to stay connected to God. A wise life attracts others to Jesus. I can think of so many people that live in wisdom, biblical wisdom, true biblical wisdom, that when I'm around them, it just attracts me, wants me to get into scripture more, makes me want to read more, wants me to like just want to like get on my knees and say, I'm sorry, you know? So that's what it should do. Our lives should be attractive to people that come in contact with us. Gracious words bring healing. Gracious words bring healing and hope to those around us. Hope and healing. Are your words bringing hope and healing to people? When Jesus spoke, even take John chapter 4. I'll give you an example. John chapter 4, the woman at the well. She's committed adultery. She has multiple husbands. Jesus doesn't immediately like come down on her, right? He provides care for her. And then he offers, correct, go and sin no more, he says. So that's a great example of our personal witness. If we see a brother or sister that's struggling, maybe say alcohol or whatever it is, you know, we're not going to come like, you shouldn't drink, and here's some statistics for you, and whoa, pump the brakes. But we're going to say, hey, tell me about why you do that. Like, you start there, and then you earn the right to be heard, right? And you earn that personal witness to be more effective and salty and impact. And so we want to bring healing to people when we come in contact. And so here's my concern as church sometimes. I believe there's some well-intended Christians that mean well. They'll use words like deep and, you know, they have well-intended words, but what it comes across is this like self-righteousness, and it's sour and it stinks. And I don't think that's what God wants for us. He wants us to come across as this personal witness who's submitted to Jesus, and our lives are directed by the Holy Spirit. And so as we do that, our witness will have more power in it. It will. And I think that's what we need to do. So listen, here's another way to say it. We are agents of healing and hope. Again, think of yourself as an agent of healing and hope. You're trying to bring healing and hope. I've had conversations with some of you, and you do that. You will come up to me, and you'll ask about my daughter. You'll ask about, like, you'll just ask, like, it's immediate. Like, I'm there to help you, and you're offering healing and hope to me. I love that. That's the heart of this church. I love it. I love being part of that. But there's some of us, I want to encourage you, if that's not you, pray that God will give you the words and the temperament and the winsomeness to bring hope and healing in your conversation. I recognize some of us, it's hard to talk to people. I know that. I know it's hard. Some of us, it's real easy. But like, listen, our witness should bring hope and healing. We're agents of change over and over. We have 21 days until Easter, 21 days from today. To think about. And so listen, I want to encourage you, as you're having these conversations at work and your neighborhood, we got conversations in my neighborhood, like I'm trying to bring some folks over from my area. I would love to see them there, but we have this able to speak at a practical level to communicate clearly our faith to people and invite them into the relationship. Easter is a tremendous opportunity for you to do that. And I'm excited. So we need to make the most of every opportunity using our personal witness. Amen. All right. Here's the other one. That when we think about our personal witness, God wants us to bring about hope and healing. Remember, we talked about this many times. God sees, he cares, he knows. God sees, he cares, he knows. And as you're thinking about your personal witness, those are three different things you could use to help talk about that. God sees you. How did God see you in your relationship? How did God provide care for you in your time of trouble? And then what do you know about God now because of the result of that? Those are just some practical things. And here's our third point. Third point is this, partnerships. Partnerships. The Apostle Paul had strategic partnerships all throughout his ministry career, throughout the New Testament. You can read about them. You could see about them. And what they're doing, they're pointing to these partnerships that we had. And we're going to look at the different types of partnerships. But he was talking to this church to be submitted to this like authority that God has for them. Paul was the Apostle Paul, which meant that it refers to this divine order that was ordained and this power responsibility given to those first disciples. And that was clearly another model that was used later in the church, and we actually use here at Bridge City Church. And so there was an order or an apostolic authority that was there. So we have that here. We have Pastor Rick in our elders team. Doug Shear is one of our elders. And then there's the campus pastors, and that's our executive board, and that's kind of like our leadership team. We're one church in four locations. We're one church in four locations that we all, we're different locations and different communities and people, but we're one church, and so there's an order to that. We're interconnected with churches throughout Pittsburgh. Do you remember last August we did the outdoor worship experience? How many of you were there at the outdoor worship experience? That was cool. Those are some of the churches that we're connected with and kind of networked with and have this this kind of partnership with. And then finally, we're with the network of related pastors, national network of related pastors all across the United States. And there was a kind of this apostolic authority that we have. Pastor Keith is head over that, and then there's all these other leaders there. But it matters. It's a model that we've adopted, and it comes from the book of Colossians. Colossians 4, 7 through 8 says this. We're talking about partnerships of faithful and trusted. Tychicus will give you a full report how I am getting along. He is beloved brother and a faithful helper who serves me in the Lord's work. Push pause. Wouldn't you like to be like described in the Bible for all time as helper, beloved brother, faithful? Wouldn't it be great to script those? I would love that. That'd be cool. Verse 8, here we go. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we are doing and to encourage you. And so there's this apostolic authority given to Tychicus, one of the guys, one of the spiritual partners that Paul has, that Paul went and he encouraged them. He was like a pastor that went. Recently, I went to Liberia. If you're new here, I went to Liberia with Pastor Gary. Pastor Gary went on to Pakistan, and then I preached at a local church in Liberia with Pastor Mongelo, and I spoke on behalf of the Global Roar School. So there was a partnership that I was doing. I preached there, and it was an amazing time. They took five offerings. I've never seen anything like it. Amazing, amazing. But anyway, there's this partnership that we had. So Pastor Gary's off to Pakistan. I'm here in Liberia preaching to the church. And there's this partnership. There was this faithfulness and trusted. So I was kind of like Tychicus, what I was trying to say. So he was Paul's messenger to the church at Colossae, that he delivered letters to Philemon. He was a frequent traveler with Paul. And so this is an example. I'm going to give you a bunch of examples of these partnerships that he had. But I want you to hear how as I'm reading these scriptures, look at the descriptive words that talks about each of these partnerships that he has. They're powerful. And I want you to think about it. Ask the question, am I like that? I want to be like that. How do I get like that? You know, these are some of the questions we can ask. How about Colossians 4:9? It says this, I am also, Paul writing to Church at Colossae, I'm also sending Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, one of your own people. And he, Tychicus, will tell you everything that has happened here. And so again, we have another example of a partnership that we have. Philemon 10:12, when he's talking about this, he says, I appeal to you to show kindness to my child Onesimus. I became his father in the faith while he was in prison. While he was here in prison. Onesimus hasn't been of much use to you in the past, but now he is very useful to both of us. I'm going to push pause there. Onesimus is Paul's spiritual son. Okay, there was kind of some tension there, and Paul's writing on behalf of Onesimus for them to show favor to him as he's there. So Paul loves him. So again, another partnership, one of faithfulness and trusted. God wants you to see yourself like that. He wants you to be faithful and walk in faithfulness, and he wants you to be trusted. He wants to give you a message, your witness, and to share your witness with others. All right, how about this? Partnerships that bring comfort. How many of you need comfort this morning? Nobody. Awesome. All right. Colossians 4, 10 through 11 says this. Aristarchus says this, who is in prison with me, sends you greetings, and so does Mark. Okay, so we have Aristarchus and Mark. Barnabas' cousin. You were instructed before, make Mark welcome if he comes your way. And then we have Jesus was also called Justice. Also sends his greetings. These are the only Jewish believers among you, my co-workers. They are great. They are working with me for the kingdom of God. What a comfort they have been. What a comfort they have been. And so we have, again, partnerships that bring comfort. Think right now, what's a partnership that brings you comfort in your walk with Jesus? Do you have a brother or sister, a connection group that brings you comfort? That maybe you're in times of sadness where you don't feel like, when you feel like holding back, and this brother or sister is going to say, don't hold back. Do you have that? And so these were guys in Paul's life that were challenging and asking them to bring comfort. And so Paul, he wanted comfort for those that were walking with him. How about this one? Partnerships that pray. Do you have people in your life, partnerships, that you know at any hour, or you could send a text, you could call them up on the phone. Or I have people in my life that I had said, hey, I need to talk. They would drive to my house. Like at a drop of a hat, they would be there, right? And so partnerships that pray, Colossians 4, 12 through 13. Epaphras, a member of your own fellowship and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends his greetings. Again, another partnership. There's a lot of partnerships going on. He always prays earnestly for you. He doesn't pray perfunctorily or dutifully. He prays earnestly, sincerely for you, asking God to make you strong and perfect or holy, fully confident that you are following the whole will of God. Again, he's speaking into that false teaching that was going on there. Verse 13 of Colossians 4, I can assure you that he prays hard for you and also for the believers of Laodicea and Hierapolis. So here we have this person of Epaphras who prays fervently, that when you know that he's going to pray, he's going to pray. We have people in this church that are fervent prayer warriors. You know, how about that? God wants you to be that. God wants to be in partnership with you. If you have that, he wants you to be in partnership with him and with one another here. And then we have 14 and 15. Again, look at all these partnerships. Luke, the beloved doctor, Dr. Luke, sends his greetings, and so does Demas. Please give my greetings to all our brothers and sisters of Laodicea and to Nympha, the church that meets in her house. And so we have, again, we have more partnerships. We have Luke. That's the same Luke, Dr. Luke, who is the author of the Gospel of Luke, that he had a partnership with. How about this? Demas eventually fell away. Here's the thing. I want to say that when we're doing life with people, and we're in relationship and partnership with people, not everybody's going to stick around. Not everybody's going to stay. I have poured hours and hours of myself as a pastor, as a friend, into somebody, and guess what? Sometimes they left, and it was disappointing. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. You don't have to raise your hand, but that's the reality, friends, but what God wants to see us is that we're found faithful in doing that. We're going to continue to pour out no matter what. And so Demas eventually fell away, and so that was a tough one for Paul. And then Nympha hosted the church in her house. She has a significant role. Her and her husband hosted a house church. And so they were provided hospitality. You know, there's a group of men that have been meeting, called the Breakfast Club. I'll use it like that, right? And it's just guys getting together and sharing and laughing, and it's great. And so that's at someone's home each time they meet. And so there's these opportunities. It's an amazing thing, but this is what the church looks like. But here's the thing. Just because it meets in a home doesn't mean it has to have this apostolic authority. There's a lot of people that say, I have this house church. Well, who are you under? Who are you submitted to? And they're like, well, nobody. I do this. I question that. I believe that the true church, the ecclesia, is submitted to the authority that has an apostolic covering over them. And then here's this last part of Colossians 4 I want you to see. We just saw an exhaustive list of people and names and different personality traits and character types. But here's this last charge that he gives to the church of Colossae. And this is like what I want you to hear. He says this in verse 17. And he says, and say to Acrippus, be sure to carry out the ministry that the Lord gave you. You see verse 17 up there? Be sure to carry out the ministry that the Lord gave you. God, if you have breath in your lungs right now, God has given you a ministry. He's given you a word, a witness, prayers, some way to pour into other people. But don't forget to carry out the ministry in which the Lord has gave you. Don't hold back, in other words. Why do we hold back? Why do we hold back from the ministry that God calls us to? And listen, I know where there's time and the hecticness of life, the economy. I mean, I know it's scary out there. But listen, we're called to have faith and to walk in obedience. We're called to have, if we have that firm foundation, which is Jesus Christ, we're going to step in and with boldness and faithfulness. We're going to step in and with obedience. We're going to carry that out. As we started, our launching verse for the whole sermon series came out of Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. And I want to end with it this morning. And I want you to hear this and think about your life and this partnership that God wants with you. It's ongoing. It's ongoing. Even when things are rough, God still wants a partnership with you. And it says this in Colossians 2, 6 and 7. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him. And let your lives be built on him. And then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught. And you will overflow with thankfulness. You will overflow with thankfulness. Are you thankful this morning for a God who loves you, that doesn't leave you out to a set of rules and religion? He doesn't let you out to the world, but he sent his one and only son to die on the cross for you, that he wants a relationship and a partnership with you. And you can have that. And I want to encourage you, like we heard this morning, why are we holding back? Why is it so hard for us to embrace this partnership with God? Because there's a heart issue. There's a fear issue. There's a control issue. I don't know what it is for you this morning, but I want to invite you to stand. I want to invite you to stand right now. For some of you, maybe you've never heard the gospel before. I'm going to just put it out there. That there's this Jesus out there that wants a relationship with you. He wants a partnership with you. He sees in you what you don't see in yourself. He sees what you could be. He sees what you are, but he sees what you can be. Listen, I want to pray, if maybe for the first time you're saying, I want to know this Jesus. I want to have a partnership with God. I want to know about this love. Maybe that's you this morning. If you could just raise your hand real high. Maybe that's you. Don't be afraid. This is a time. Don't hold back. Do business with God this morning. All right. To rest of the saints that are walking faithfully and strong. Put your hand right there. I want to pray with you this morning. I want to pray with you this morning. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now for this dear saint. I pray that, Lord, that she would know what it means to have a relationship with you, that she would be the forgiver of her past, that her past doesn't define her, but a relationship with you. Lord, that you desire a relationship with her. And so, Father, I pray that she would just believe with her whole heart, Lord, that you are the guide, the savior of her life, the leader into a future that has promise and purpose. I pray that you would bless her, Lord, that you'd commit all her days to you, Lord, right now. I pray that you'd understand what it means to live for Jesus Christ. And so for the rest of you, the church, that are walking strong, that know the gospel, but maybe you're holding back, I want to pray for you now. Father, I pray right now for the church. I pray for those that are self-righteous and think more of themselves than they should. Lord, humble us. Forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to get out of our own way. Lord, you don't desire this self-righteous behavior, but you desire obedience and faithfulness. Forgive us, Lord. Lord, I pray for that brother and sister that's struggling right now. Lord, that you'd help them deal with those situations of life that are painful and difficult and those relationships that are heavy. Lord, would you be the peace and comfort that they need right now? Would you be that partnership? Would you develop their prayer life and draw near to them in such a way? And so, Father, I pray for those that are walking strong, Lord. Would you just encourage them? Would you just send your Holy Spirit to draw near to us, to keep going, to have that relationship with you, to walk boldly, to walk strongly in you. So, Father, we love you and praise you in this place. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who empowers us. And, Father, I just pray right now that we'd have our firm foundations, that our roots of our lives would grow firm down into our hearts. And, Lord, that we'd be thankful and our lives would demonstrate that to a world that needs to hear it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.